Welcome to day 302 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host, and today we are going to start reading for this week in the Amplified Bible. Today's reading will take us through the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John, and we will hear of the miracle of the raising of the dead of Jesus' friend Lazarus. So beginning at John chapter 11, starting at verse 1. Now a certain man named Lazarus was ill. He was of Bethany, the village where Mary and her sister Martha lived. This Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who is now sick. So the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love so well is sick." When Jesus received the message, he said, "This sickness is not to end in death, but on the contrary, it is to honor God and to promote his glory, that the Son of God may be glorified through by it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. They were his dear friends, and he held them in loving esteem. Therefore, even when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he still stayed 2 days longer in the same place where he was. Then, after that interval, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back again to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews only recently were intending and trying to stone you, and are you thinking of going back there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? Anyone who walks about in the daytime does not stumble because he sees by the light of this world. But if anyone walks about in the night, he does stumble because there is no light in him. The light is lacking to him." He said these things and then added, "Our friend Lazarus is at rest and sleeping, but I am going there that I may waken him out of his sleep." The disciples answered, "Lord, if he's sleeping, he will recover." However, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he referred to falling into a refreshing and natural sleep. So then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there. It will help you to believe, to trust, and rely on me. However, let us go to him." Then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go too, that we may die, be killed along with him." So when Jesus arrived, he found that he, Lazarus, had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and a considerable number of the Jews had gone out to see Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, while Mary remained sitting in the house. Martha then said to Jesus, "Master, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, he will grant it to you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother shall rise again." Martha replied, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am myself the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in, adheres to, trusts in, and relies on me, although he may die, yet he shall live. And whoever continues to live and believes in, has faith in, cleaves to, and relies on me, shall never actually die at all. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have believed. I do believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God, even he who was to come into the world. It is for your coming that the world has waited." After she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary privately, whispering to her, "The teacher is close at hand and is asking for you." When she heard this, she sprang up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the same spot where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were sitting with her in the house and consoling her saw how hastily Mary had arisen and gone out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to pour out her grief there. When Mary came to the place where Jesus was and saw him, she dropped down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her sobbing, and the Jews who came with her also sobbing, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. He chafed in spirit and sighed and was disturbed. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. The Jews said, "See how tenderly he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened a blind man's eyes have prevented this man from dying?" Now Jesus, again sighing repeatedly and deeply disquieted, approached the tomb. It was a cave, a hole in the rock, and a boulder lay against the entrance to close it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, exclaimed, "But Lord, oh, by this time he is decaying and throws off an offensive odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you and promise you that if you would believe and rely on me, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Yes, I know you always hear and listen to me, but I have said this on account of and for the benefit of the people standing around, so that they may believe that you did send me, that you have made me your messenger." And when he had said this, he shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And out walked the man who had been dead, his hands and feet wrapped in burial cloths, linen strips, and with a burial napkin bound around his face. Jesus said to them, "Free him of the burial wrappings and let him go." Upon seeing what Jesus had done, many of the Jews who had come with Mary believed in him. They trusted in him and adhered to him and relied on him. But some of them went back to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and Pharisees called a meeting of the council, the Sanhedrin, and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs, evidences, miracles. If we let him alone to go on like this, everyone will believe in him and adhere to him, and the Romans will come and suppress and destroy and take away our holy place and our nation, our temple and city and our civil organization." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, declared, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand or reason out that it is expedient and better for your own welfare that one man should die on behalf of the people than that the whole nation should perish, be destroyed, ruined." Now he did not say this simply of his own accord. He was not self-moved, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was to die for the nation, and not only for the nation, but also for the purpose of uniting into one body the children of God who have been scattered far and wide. So from that day on, they took counsel and plotted together how they might put Jesus to death. For that reason, Jesus no longer appeared publicly among the Jews, but left there and retired to the district that borders on the wilderness, the desert, to a village called Ephraim, and there he stayed with the disciples. Now the Jewish Passover was at hand, and many from the country went up to Jerusalem in order that they might purify and consecrate themselves before the Passover. So they kept looking for Jesus and questioned among themselves as they were standing about in the temple area, "What do you think? Will he not come to the feast at all?" Now the chief priests and Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where he was, he should report it to them so that they might arrest him. This is the end of today's scripture reading.
Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional.
In walking the walk of faith and living a life of faith, one of the most challenging pieces of that puzzle, so to speak, is the piece that requires a person of faith to wait before receiving an answer from God. Faith requires waiting, and we've heard this addressed multiple times as we have made our journey through the scripture from the Old Testament now into the New. We heard about waiting often in the Psalms when David would speak about this issue of waiting for God to answer and to deliver him and to intervene in his circumstances. We heard it multiple times in Psalm 25:3, for example. David, the psalmist, wrote, "Indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed." That's a promise for people who are waiting for God to intervene. Today we heard one of the most difficult scenarios of waiting for God to intervene when we heard the story of Mary, Martha, and then their brother Lazarus. Mary and Martha and Lazarus were friends of Jesus, very clearly stated in the scriptures. Are you a friend of God? If you've given your life and your heart and placed your trust in Christ Jesus, you too are a friend of God. And you have the ability and the authority to ask from the Father in the name of Jesus whatever it is that you desire that's in accordance with His will. And in this case, the friends of God, the friends of Jesus here, Mary, Martha, their brother Lazarus, faced a situation where they needed Jesus' intervention. The two sisters sent a message to him. He was ministering in another area, in another town, and told him through the messenger that the one that Jesus loved, their own brother Lazarus, was very, very sick. And the obvious expectation was that Jesus would come and heal their brother. And so they're back in Bethany, that small village a few miles outside of Jerusalem, ministering to their brother, watching his life ebb away, and at the same time waiting, expecting Jesus to come and to heal their brother. They had sent word, they had asked, and yet they saw nothing. They saw no answer to their prayer at the time, to the point where his life ebbed away completely, his spark of life was extinguished, and he died, and they buried him. So imagine how they felt. They'd been waiting for God. They had asked, and then they expected, and then to all appearances, the answer was no, or the answer just was never responded to at all. Have you ever felt that way in your life? Many of us have gone through circumstances where we have prayed, cried out to God, waited for God, expected the aid of Jehovah, and yet seemed to receive no answer, or it seemed that God didn't even care. Now that is a lie from the devil. If you're ever tempted to think God doesn't care, or He doesn't care about your personal circumstance, or He doesn't care about the specific circumstance you are facing, that is a lie that you have to cast off if that thought ever approaches your mind. And it will approach your mind because the enemy always seeks to remove hope and to remove faith and to take courage away from the waiting believer, from the one who's waiting in faith. And this idea of waiting in faith is very, very, very important for the life of a believer, because we will always face circumstances where we must wait in faith. And it means to remain and endure with expectation in our heart, expecting the aid of the Lord. So this is a key piece for you to have victory in your life when you've prayed, when you're believing God for one of His promises, and yet there's a lag time between the request and the answer. That's what I like to call the wait of faith, that period of time, the wait of faith. You have to wait, but you have to stay in faith at the same time. If during the wait of faith, that lag time between your request, your prayer, and the ultimate answer, you allow yourself to become discouraged and hopeless, then your faith becomes deactivated. You have to stay in faith in order to receive from God. God delights in the person who has faith in Him, trusts in Him, relies upon Him. That is very clear. It is the thing that pleases God. It's impossible to please God without faith. The book of Hebrews teaches us. So this is an important issue for us to understand. And I want to review, though we've touched on it before when we were in the Old Testament, the keys to waiting in faith. And then ultimately receiving. God has made so many promises for the one who waits. We heard it in the Psalms when I said the first one, really, the promises, you won't be ashamed. Mary and Martha waited for Jesus. And in the end, though it looked like they were ashamed, that their prayer wasn't answered, that Jesus didn't care about them, the ultimate result was they were not ashamed. In fact, they became quite famous as a family for being the recipients of one of Jesus' greatest miracles. So they were not ashamed. That's promise number one to the person who will wait in faith. The second promise that we find in the Psalms is from Psalm 27. And it is that the person who waits in faith, believing God, will receive strength for the waiting season. You might be in a waiting season right now. You have prayed, you are believing God, and you are expecting God to intervene. But wow, when the length of time becomes longer and longer, it is easy to become weary. It is easy to start losing hope, and yet you must hold on in faith. This promise for the person who waits expectantly for the Lord is that you will receive strength. Psalm 27, 13 and 14, written by David, the psalmist said this, "I would have lost heart. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. This is a powerful exhortation from King David, who knew what it was like to have to wait for God to intervene when it looked like all things were hopeless and he was about to be destroyed. He waited in the cave of Adullam. He waited around the side of the mountain to see if God would intervene when he was being chased by his enemy Saul. He knew what it was like to have to wait in faith, but at the same time under great pressure. You might be under tremendous pressure right now, and you are trying to hold on to God's promises. God will honor that. He will strengthen your heart. So you need to take hold of this promise that the person who waits in faith will be given more strength to wait until God gives the answer. You will receive strength. David said, I would have lost heart. That is what happens when you're waiting. If you aren't clinging to God, you'll lose heart. If you listen to the devil, that it's not going to come to pass, that God's not going to help you, that God doesn't care, you'll lose heart. You'll despair. He said, I would have lost heart. I would have despaired unless, and now he gives you his secret, unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In other words, he's saying, unless I had had faith and expectation in God's goodness to intervene in my situation. And then he goes on to exhort everyone who will listen to wait on the Lord, to be of good courage, and to receive by faith that he'll strengthen your heart for the journey of waiting in faith until God intervenes. And then in Isaiah, we receive a similar promise about God giving strength to the person who will be willing to wait on God without giving up. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Don't give up in the waiting for the Lord. Don't give up during the wait of faith. The third promise that we find in Scripture about this issue of waiting has to do with God exalting eventually the person who is willing to wait, lifting them up. It says in Psalm 37:34, wait on the Lord, keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. So this is an important promise and an encouraging promise for us. God will turn things around, and you'll go from clinging and hoping to being exalted by the Lord to inherit the land. And that speaks of authority and increase and definitely influence that God gives to the person who learns to wait in faith. And then we find a promise in the Psalms, Psalm 145:15. That God will provide for you if you are willing to wait in faith. He will provide. Do you need provision today? Whatever kind of provision you need. If you will wait on the Lord in faith, expecting, watching for his answer, he will provide for you. Here's Psalm 145:15 in the Amplified Translation with this promise. The eyes of all who wait for you, speaking to the Lord, the eyes of all who wait for you, looking, watching, and expecting, and you give them their food in due season. So you see this promise of provision, food in due season, the thing that you need, the provision you really need will come to pass to the one whose eyes are looking, watching, and expecting to receive from God. Let your eyes stay fixed on the Lord, not on your circumstance, and that will help you to wait in faith. Now, the last promise that I want to mention, and there are many more for the person who waits in faith, is that you will be blessed. Listen to Isaiah 30:18. Therefore the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Now listen to this last part of the verse. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Blessed are all those who wait for him. And then Lamentations 3:25 tells us, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. And then let me give you Lamentations 3:25 through 27 from the Message translation. It will really encourage you. Listen to this. God proves to be good to the man who passionately waits, to the woman who diligently seeks. It's a good thing to quietly hope for help from God. It's a good thing when you're young to stick it out through the hard times. God promises his intervention to the person who will wait patiently, diligently, expectantly, filled with faith that God will intervene, that he will be good to those who wait for him. That's God's way with this issue of waiting in faith. Don't allow circumstances to speak to you. Let God's word speak to you. Don't let the pressure of the enemy and his lies speak to you. Let God's word speak to you about the situation that you need resolved by God. Let God's word speak to you that God proves to be good to the man who passionately waits. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. Now let's look back at this story in John 11. Martha and Mary waited for Jesus. God proved to be good to the one who had waited. The goodness of the Lord was demonstrated in a dynamic way, in a way that no one on the face of the earth had ever seen in all of the history of mankind. No one had ever raised the dead of a person who had been in a tomb for 4 days. No one. Elijah and Elisha both had miracles of raising the dead, but there was nothing like this one with Lazarus, where the person had been in a tomb for 4 days, where the process of decomposition would have fully taken effect. And as Sister Martha pointed out, the stench will be great because he'd been in there for so long if they open that tomb like Jesus directed. Yet Mary and Martha had waited expectantly for the Lord, and the Lord let the period of waiting be excruciating for them. He allowed it because he wanted to glorify his heavenly Father, and he wanted to prove to the Jews who he was, that he was the Messiah. And that was part of the reason for the wait, because Jesus himself, after hearing that Lazarus was very sick, he said, "This sickness is not to end in death, but on the contrary, it is to honor God and to promote his glory, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." And then he also said, specifically about his disciples, "I'm glad I wasn't there, because this is going to help you to believe. For your sake, I'm glad that I was not there. For your sake, I'm glad that I wasn't there to heal Lazarus sooner. It will help you to believe, to trust, and rely on me." That's what Jesus told his disciples. The Lord allowed this waiting period to be quite lengthy and no doubt excruciatingly painful emotionally for the sisters, who thought after Lazarus died that Jesus had taken a little too long. We can often feel that way also, that God's taken a little too long to answer and it seems very hopeless for anything good to come out of it. And yet, out of this situation came great glory to God and proof of Jesus's assignment as the Messiah and his identity as God in the flesh. So there was a purpose in all of it. Every time God allows you to wait for an answer, there is a great purpose behind it. There is a purpose. God is wiser than we are. We have a situation right now in our ministry where we have been waiting in faith, expectantly, for a title deed for property in Tanzania, East Africa, to build a larger orphanage than we have right now. This wait has been quite excruciating. We have prayed, we have fasted, we have intervened in every natural possible way that God's allowed us to do, with the government, with requesting help from various people, and yet the delay has been so long in coming. And yet the Lord has assured me of two things. One, that he will surely do it, and two, that there's a purpose in the waiting, that there is a divine element in the waiting period. And I have comfort in that. I have contentment in that. I have complete trust that God does have a divine purpose. In our flesh, we want to always hurry things along. That's the natural man wanting things its own way. But when we learn to just trust and rest in God, even in situations where it seems just wrong for the wait to be so long, to have to endure for such a lengthy period of time, yet God's purposes are higher than man's purposes. His timing is exquisitely perfect. And we have to trust that he's trying to accomplish other things that we cannot see in our natural, with our natural eyes or understand with our natural mind until later on when he reveals it to us. So it is best to trust in your waiting time, to rest in his goodness, to believe like David did when he said, I would have fainted, I would have lost heart, I would have lost hope, I would have become discouraged if I didn't believe I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Whatever situation you're in right now, decide, make a decision of your will. I believe, I choose to believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Despite the fact that my mind doesn't understand why it's taking so long or why things haven't changed yet, I still choose to believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I will wait in faith. I will wait expectantly. I will trust God's goodness in this situation, that in the end, He will be glorified and I will be able to testify about His goodness being manifested in my life. God bless you as you wait in faith and with expectation of God's goodness being revealed. God bless you and give you a victorious week.
If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God.